Welcome to Northumberland Newcomers, an engaging show that brings you a blend of world music, the latest news, and valuable information about newcomers to Northumberland. Emilio, your host, will be chatting with a variety of people, sharing their inspiring success stories, and discussing the unique challenges and experiences of those who have recently joined our Northumberland community. Northumberland Newcomers celebrates diversity, connects cultures, and provides a welcoming platform for newcomers and longtime community members to connect, learn, and grow together. So join us as we embark on this captivating journey, exploring the vibrant world of Northumberland's newcomers.
Today, I will be chatting with Neil Horner, production manager from the Ontario Food Venture Center, and later on the program, the latest in immigration news. Neil Horner is an independent food industry consultant. As a trained food technologist, Neil has spent over 25 years supporting food business around the world. Neil's breadth of experience and passion for food is frequently used as a catalyst to accelerate growth and change in food business. Over the last 10 years, Neil has focused on startup food business in Canada, Australia, and China. Leading projects would include product innovation, developing ingredients and packaging specifications, sourcing and process development. So Neil, how are you? Thank you for taking the time to meet me here.
My pleasure, Emilio. Love to see you again.
I'd like to start with this question because it's the human behind the microphone, the human behind the interview. And it is something that is very important for me, the humanity of this question. Who is Neil?
So Neil, husband of Melanie. Melanie, who is a potter in Brighton, our hometown. I am father of two. So we've got James and Oliver, 24 and 21, and James is working now. Oliver's still studying. When I'm not working at the OAFVC or flying around the world, I am a sailor, kayaker, as my hobbies. And I think one of the things that the way I sort of like people to see me, I like to enjoy life. But at the same time, family, friends, and the community around me is really important, and looking after the people around me is important.
Awesome. Yes, that's beautiful. That is really nice. Tell me a little bit more about the selling. That sounds something that really cool.
Yeah, we in 2019 we were very lucky to find a property that's actually on Lake Ontario. So I live on Lake Ontario, and we have a little beach, and I have a little sailing dinghy, 12 feet long, and pop it in the water and go out on the lake. And I also windsurf and kayak, and I've always been, since my earliest memories, on the water, with friends, family, and so water is my thing.
That's great. So from where are you? You came to Canada from abroad, from where?
So we emigrated from the UK in 2011. We came over, it was my fault, but it was a choice. So we'd been talking about emigrating for a while as a family, and then an opportunity came up to help a company I was working for in the UK establish a business in Canada. So we came over February 27th of 2011. To help create a business in Coburg.
That's amazing. That seems to me that there is the right time and the right moment and the right company and the right everything, because that's something you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Do you specifically wanted to come to Canada or anywhere else?
It's I think we'd always dreamed about Canada or New Zealand. Canada was always probably a preference because Melanie, my wife, has relatives here. There's this historical family connection. And New Zealand is an awful long way away from the UK. So in terms of looking after family that we left behind in the UK, logistically, it's a lot more complicated. And Canada's relatively close. So, but we love Canada.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Canada is 8 hours Tell me, what were your first, and I'm going to ask you this to Neil, but I also, you can tell me about your family. What was your first experience in Canada? Those feelings when you just land in Canada, you start working and everybody start figuring it out, the county. So can you tell me a little bit of that?
Scary. It's daunting. It's really daunting. We came across as a family of four with two young children. Relatively young children, 8 and 11, and trying to find a home, trying to find schools, trying to find a bank account, trying to buy a car, you know, all of the sort of administrative stuff that you need to do, SIN numbers and health cards and all that. And it's, you know, I was very lucky in a way that I got to hide at work. It was a very intense period because we were launching a new business. So a lot of the burden fell on Melanie, my wife, to try and navigate all of the sort of procedures that we needed to go through and look after the kids. And, we were just really lucky to have that, you know, cause Melanie at the time wasn't working. So we had the time, but so scary. It's, you know, coming to Canada, though the language is the same as the UK, the culture is different. It's very different. So it took, you know, a couple of years for us to really feel as though Canada was home. But it certainly feels that way now.
That's great. I mean, it's daunting. I know. And for you, having the same idiom, the same language, it was daunting. Can you imagine if you come from a country where the language is totally different, including the symbols, including the, you know, the writing and reading, it's totally different symbols that we use. So yes, it's very difficult. I normally tell people, do you imagine yourself living in another country where you don't know anything, you don't know the language, and going to a supermarket, as simple as that? How do you manage? The response is that it's daunting. So, it's hard to move to another country. But do you have trouble settling down?
I think for me and Mel, it was a process of sort of meeting friends, new friends. For the younger of our children, a bit easier than the older. The older child, James, had already proceeded into higher levels of school in the UK system. So he went back to elementary school effectively when he came to Canada, having already moved to high school in the UK system. So he found it harder. But you know, we got through it, and they're all happy and settled now. But it's a challenge.
Nice. Well, I'm glad that you guys are settled now, and you have been a few years, and so I know you are in the WFEC. But before that, what is your professional? What is your profession? What do you do? And you mentioned before that, you know, you travel abroad, you travel around the world. What do you do to, so what's the benefit for Canadians about your, where you have to bring us?
Thanks. It's, so what do I do? By training, I am a food technologist. So I have a degree in food technology. My experience, I've never stepped foot out of the food industry. So I've worked in the food industry, food manufacturing, since I was 18 years old. Since when would it have been? About 2003, I've been lucky enough to travel extensively. And also across multiple different disciplines in the food industry. So I've worked in food supply chain, sourcing, logistics, product development, process development, new factory, finding new factories, finding land, building factories, designing factories. And that's taken me into South Africa, South America, Australia, and then most recently 5 years in China before I started supporting and working with the Ontario Agri-Food Venture Centre. So, I've been very lucky. I've had loads of opportunities and worked with some fabulous people and fabulous cultures all around the world.
Yeah, that, I can imagine that. One of the, I think there is not enough knowledge that you get from traveling.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And something I tell my kids that, you know, you don't know nothing until you start traveling and knowing all the cultures and all the places. So, definitely. It's enriching. So now let's move on to the Ontario Agri-Food Venture Center. For my listeners, I started there in 2015. I was doing some sort of a programs, ESL, through food for newcomers. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. I still have those experiences connected to my heart and to the place. I love cooking in the kitchen. I love help making new products. Can you tell me what is your experience in the OFVC? And do you have any challenges there, if you have any, or good experiences?
Yeah, all good experiences. The Agri-Food Venture Center is just an amazing business, amazing facility with amazing people working with amazing entrepreneurs. I started working there in October of 2018, really purely by chance. I'd literally just got back from my travels in China. I was looking for another opportunity to work closer to home, because I'd spent far too long on airplanes going back and forward to China. And Dan Borowick reached out to me and said, would I be interested in helping and supporting the growth of the Ontario Agri-Food Venture Centre? And I said, I'd love to. Experiences, I don't know. So typically 60 or 70 new clients every year, from every possible background, every possible type of food. So vegan dishes, vegetarian dishes, sauces, ice creams, dry powders, herbs, spices, popsicles, smoothie pucks, energy bars, all sorts of products. We don't know who's going to walk through the door each week. So a fabulous, dynamic, energizing environment. Great team of people. I work with some of the best people I've ever worked with in the food industry. The team are, you know, really experienced and engaged, and are, you know, remarkably you know, dynamic and able to solve challenges and problems on the fly. Because when we're making new food products, there's always some challenges. You refer to, you know, challenges specifically. I don't know. Every day is a challenge because we're always trying to fix a problem. We're always trying to find a way of helping a client. Because launching products into the food industry in Canada is complicated. Lots of regulations, lots of protocols that you need to follow from a packaging, labeling, product formulation perspective. So most of the challenges really would revolve around, making sure the product is legally compliant, safe for sale in the Canadian market. It's just a brilliant facility. Fabulous place to work. We have good fun as a team. And what makes our day is watching a client make their dream product for the first time and being able to see it launched into a supermarket. That really makes us smile.
Any anecdote that you have with any client? I know you have very some of the clients, and I'm sure you're going to have a few anecdotes. But
fabulous stuff. There was a mean Fidel from Windsor who drove up from Windsor three times a week for 6 months whilst he was helping. We were helping launch a range of salad dressings and pita chips. Amin at the time was only 19 years old, taking a break from a degree at university, working with his mom. And now Amin's got his own factory. And has just been awarded a deal by one of the dragons in Dragon's Den. A phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal entrepreneur and new Canadian at the same time. And he'd be one. And then we can't discuss the OAFPC and clients at the OAFPC without talking about Saucy Dotty.
Dottie,
and you know her well. I know Amelia because you helped her, didn't you? So, but I met Dottie when pretty much on my first day, and she came into the whirlwind that is Dottie came into the reception area of the centre and said, "Oh well, I've only just been out. I've just come out of hospital and I'm ready to make another batch," because she'd been poorly, but the energy of Dottie is just mind blowing, an inspiration to everyone and anyone, and proves that you're never too old to make something happen in life. Absolutely. Dottie's getting on in years, but is fabulously successful and is just full of energy. And is now in hundreds of stores with her products. So fabulous. So, yeah, they're probably the two stories that really stand out.
I adore Dottie, and I always said, I want to grow up older like she.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely.
For the audience, Dottie is the person behind Saucy Dotties, and she now has a store in Brighton, and she sells her sauce. It's a very special sauce, delicious, that is selling in more than 100 stores, as Neil mentioned. And she started in the OFBC with a concept idea, something that she brought from her family over, I believe, 100-year-old recipe. You correct me, Neil, if it's not the story, but I believe that I remember. And she started making that small batches of her sauce, and now she has a line different sauces, all in the same segment. Some more sweet, some more spicy. And she has her own factory. She's doing her own sauce now, and she's selling like crazy. So this is a story that is very inspiring, because again, we're talking about a lady that she's over 8 years old. She's I shouldn't say that. Sorry, Dory. you should never say that, lady. But it shows you that you're never too old to do whatever you want in life, and you're never too old to a new start, and that's what the case of Dory is. So
absolutely,
if Dory, you hear me, I love you.
a real inspiration.
It is. So. So tell me, I know we're doing now in the OFEC, and I say we because I'm also related to that, the Newcomers Food Entrepreneur Program. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience? And this is the second cohort. You can talk a little bit of the first one. I know we have some successful cases there. And then this second one, just reserve a little bit of the surprise, because we're launching the pitch competition between the producers on March 19, and we will have more news back then. So can you tell me?
Sure. We ran the first cohort in the early part of 2023. In the end, we ended up with 6 entrepreneurs that went through the education, the training material, which is it's a 6-week program, 12 hours of lectures, all aspects of the food industry in terms of how to develop products, how to launch products, how to market products. And then at the OFEC, we help them actually manufacture. So they come to the OFEC with a recipe, which may have come from a family history, a traditional recipe, maybe something that they've always been passionate about. They produce their own family. So they come with a recipe, and then we help them take that recipe and move it into create a process for it so they can produce it commercially. So we'll source packaging, we'll source labels, then we'll invite the entrepreneur in, and we'll manufacture in our food grade kitchens at the OFEC to produce a product then that would be suitable for launching into a retail environment. So last year we had six entrepreneurs that manufactured products, and at least 2 of those entrepreneurs still manufacture now at the OFEC and are listed now in numerous retail locations around Northumberland County and wider. A great success. And one of the other entrepreneurs that launched the products also then continued to invest in the food industry and now has a cafe restaurant in Coburg. Brilliant experience. Second cohort started in October of 23. Next week we start trials for the clients that were able to create a product. So we start trials on Wednesday next week, and then those trial products will then go forward to the pitch competition, as Emilio said, on the 19th of March. And we're really 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 excited. There's some really fascinating products this year. From all different backgrounds, all different cultures, products that we have made before at the OFEC, products that we've never seen before, and are very much learning as we go. And it's going to be an adventure next week.
I can't wait to be there and taste those products. Can you talk a little bit how the pitch competition you think is going to go?
Sure. It's really exciting. The way we presented the products, the successful products last year, was a little bit different. We did a tour of the OFEC for dignitaries and customers. This year is a bit different, so we've introduced a competition element to it. So that each entrepreneur will present to a panel of judges their product and their marketing proposal for their products. As a part of the panel, we have a local retailer, Sharps, in Camperford. I know, having worked with John and Mike Sharp in the past, that if they like the product, they'll put it on the shelf and they'll market it through their store. So for our entrepreneurs, it's just a fabulous experience, just the experience of presenting their product and trying to make that sale is good enough, but to be able to do it in front of a retailer and then actually have the product on shelf and learn from that experience is just really quite unique. It's not often that you get the experience to directly bid, directly pitch to a retail customer. So really excited to see how the entrepreneurs do.
This is a program that was initiated by Sediment Services in Northumberland County, and with the partnership of the Ontario Agri-Food Venture Center, and it's founded by the Government of Canada, Immigration Canada. So this proves that the integration of newcomers in any area is important. And as a newcomer myself and as a chef, so meaning that I like the food part of the equation, I know that integration is easier when you zoom things, music and food. In this case, it's food, but let's make some music on March 19 and make the whole thing going great. This is an opportunity for newcomers to shine and to bring something from their communities to our communities. So it's a way to integrate. So moving forward, Neil, where do you think the future is in you? What is Lightning Stars bringing you?
I don't know. I mean, I like to take one day at a time. Life's too short to plan too far ahead. But I'm really excited to work with the entrepreneurs, more entrepreneurs at the OFPC. Myself and wife, we've got our eye on. On slowing down, traveling a bit more, maybe next year onwards. So maybe I'll do a few less days at the OFEC and see a few more sites around the world. At the moment, just really enjoying working with the entrepreneurs and suppose particularly the new Canadians at the OFEC.
Yeah, I hope you can do that because it's a lot of blast, a lot of energy, a good time in sailing around the world. I no promise you I will go with you. No, thank you. I'd rather stay in land. Have a beautiful lake, and I don't even want to go there in a kayak. So it's it's what it is. I'd rather be in the beach and swimming a little bit, but no more than that. So can you, just to close, I would like to know about Melanie. I have the pleasure to meet your wife, and she's a lovely, lovely person. But I would like to know a little bit more about her. And I know she's a porter, and then she's a very good porter. So would you tell me a little bit of about her?
Sure. So we obviously emigrated together as a family, Melanie historically trained as a nurse. So in the UK, she was initially an NHS nurse, and then she specialised in occupational health, And as we left the UK, she was a senior occupational health nurse working for a company in the UK. When she came to Canada, it was quite difficult to re-qualify. So it was a choice for her. She could have retrained and re-qualified, but it's going to take a couple of years, be quite expensive as a process. And she chose, and we chose as a family, that she was going to change direction. So for the first year that we were in Canada, as I mentioned earlier, invaluable support trying to get us settled as a family, all the sort of administration and applying for licenses and bank accounts and everything. But then in 2012, she launched a business called Firing Time, which is a pottery business. Initially, she focused on making clocks, hence the Firing Time. And then gradually broadened to teaching and workshops and manufacture of a very wide range of pottery pieces. So she wouldn't class herself as a production potter. She doesn't make dinner sets and traditional things. She makes clocks, lamps, unique bowls, platters, all sorts of things that just take a sort of artistic fancy. But now, quite widely regarded, recognized as a teacher and instructor in pottery. So much so when we relocated from Coburg to Brighton, she took a lease on a storefront, a shop in Brighton. So you'll find her next door to Sobeys on the Brighton Main Street. And that's where now she sells what she manufactures, what she makes. And that's where Mel does all of her teaching. So pottery courses and other events in the actual store. So, so that's probably the summary of Mel.
I'm frustrated that I missed. I used to do that, and I think I still have two boxes of mud that I have never opened, and probably there is green right now. But I can imagine, the artistic part is something that is really important. And there's nothing wrong with changing directions after you are a professional coming back to another country. I did that. Mm-hmm. My business administrator, when I came to Canada, I graduated as a chef, trained chef. So totally different. But you know what? That opened a lot of doors for me after I did that. And even if I'm not working as a chef directly in a restaurant or cafe or whatever, still see the good of doing networking in a different way that you used to do in your own country. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate the artistic part. I love that, and I would like to have her. I would love to have Melanie in the show very soon, so I can talk to her and she can tell me about her experience.
I'm sure she'd love to.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So this is Neil Horner from the Ontario Agri-Food Venture Center, and traveling around the world, open and helping food factories to open as a food scientist. And thank you, Neil, for this time. And looking forward to March 19 again with the pitch competition for the Ontario Agri-Food Venture Center New Entrepreneurs Food Program. So thank you, Neil.
Lovely. My pleasure, Emile. Lovely to talk to you again.
Liam Gallagher is rarely at last for words, snide or otherwise. But during a recent interview with Rolling Stone, the singer was left momentarily speechless after being informed that Wonderwall, the monster 1995 ballad he sang with his old band, Oasis, is on his way to approaching 1 million streams by Spotify. Wonderwall has become the song that will not die, a 90s hit that has transcended its era and become a new standard. Released 25 years ago next month on Oasis' second album, What's the Story, Morning Glory, Wonderwall regularly streams about 500,000 times a week, or 750,000 if audio and video streams are combined. A declaration of love and support for someone who was struggling, it didn't swagger the way the band's previous songs had. It was open-hearted and earnest, with a melody and busker simple arrangement that made both Oasis and Liam sound vulnerable. Let's enjoy Neil's choice of music today, Wonderwall by Oasis.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads we have to walk are winding, and all the lights that lead us there are blinding. About you now. And all the roads that lead you there were winding, and all the lights that light the way are blinding. There are many things that I would like to say to you, but I don't know how. I said maybe
Northumberland Settlement Services help newcomers to adapt and integrate into the community, offering support related to business, employment, networking, women empowerment, youth, recreation, and culture. Contact us at settlementservices@northumberland.ca.
In other news, there are lesser known benefits of being a Canadian permanent resident. So for newcomers, the ability to become permanent resident of Canada is one of the most attractive aspects of moving to the country. Permanent resident status gives you the individuals the ability to reside in Canada and to study, work, and live as they wish. Of course, within the bounds of the law. But there is several benefits to attaining the PR that many newcomers may not be aware, including easy access to all kinds of education, employment, and support opportunities. So, which are those? Well, first of all, we have a huge reduction in educational cost. Becoming a permanent resident will see you as a resident of the country, and it will give you a different student fees comparing with domestic and international fees. In addition, you are able to access for financial aid options, including federal and provincial loans, scholarship, and bursaries. There is also an access to a wider range of settlement services. So the Government of Canada invests about $2 billion annually to fund services for those who just arrived to the country or need some services, integrating to the community or understanding the Canadian way of living. Something else that not much people know is that with your permanent resident card, you can travel without visa to several countries. So those countries are all Dutch Caribbean territories, Anguilla, Bahamas, Belize, Bermuda, British Virgin Islands, Cayman Islands, Costa Rica, Cuba, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Georgia, Guatemala, Honduras, Jamaica, Kosovo, Mexico, Nicaragua, Panama, Peru for national of China or India only, Qatar, St. Pierre and Miquelon, Singapore for national of China or India only, St. Martin, South Korea, Taiwan, and Turks and Caicos Islands. These countries have added specific entry and visit requirements. So if you go to any of those countries with your PR card, please check these individual country websites at the time of your travel to ensure that they met all necessary criteria. So there you go. Let's talk about Canadian winters. If you're a newcomer and this is your first Canadian winter, here's some stuff you need to know to stay mentally healthy. So winters in Canada, if you're coming from a country that it doesn't have the four stations and don't have a deep winter like we have, the temperatures can drop way below zero and the sun sets very early, making the days very cold and very short. So the shorter days and colder weather can greatly affect mood and overall well-being. This is what is called a winter blues that people can experience, a wave of negative emotions that come with the cold, dark days of winter. So what we can do to avoid those winter blues in the winter months? It's essential to recognize the importance of vitamin D and sunlight exposure. The Mental Health Commission of Canada recommend taking vitamin D supplements and even using light therapy lamps. These lamps mimic natural sunlight and can help regulate circadian rhythms.
Embracing the outdoors during the winter months is crucial despite the added challenge. Engaging in activities like skiing, snow showing, or even taking a leisure stroll outside can significantly enhance your mood. The combination of physical activity and exposure to natural light has a positive impact on your overall well-being. So in addition, it's important to maintain healthy eating and lifestyle habits. Establishing a regular indoor exercise routine can boost endorphins levels, while maintaining a balanced and nutritious diet can positively influence mood and energy levels. Finally, try to surround yourself with family and friends, especially during the holiday season. According to the Canadian Mental Health Association, 52% of Canadians report feelings of anxiety, depression, and isolation during the holiday seasons. So if you need any help and you feel those winter blues, just contact us at Settlement Services at Northumberland.ca. And we can help you. There is a network of support for newcomers, warm lines, the youth peer-to-peer online community, Canadian Mental Health Association, the suicide prevention and crisis support, etc. So there is a lot of stuff to avoid feeling those blues. And if you feel them and you need help, there is also help available. So this is very important. Not everybody settle in Canada in the same way, and sometimes we need more help. So we are here to help.
IRCC invite candidate in third express entry draw of the week. Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship Canada has issued invitation to apply in the third express entry draw of the week. The department invited 150 candidates in categories-based selection draw for agriculture and agri-food occupations. These candidates require a minimum comprehensive ranking system score of 137. Today's draw followed two others this week. The first was general draw that occurred on February 13, in which 1,490 candidates with a minimum CRS score of at least 535 receive ITAS. On February 14, IRCC issued ITAS to 3,500 candidates in category-based selection draw for healthcare occupations. Candidates need to a minimum CRS score of 422 to be considered. Another category-based selection draw occurred on February 1st, inviting 7,000 candidates with strong French language proficiency. It was the largest draw of the year so far. What is a category-based selection? In May 2023, IRCC introduced category-based selection round for invitation. The department created six new categories targeting specific human capital attributes. One to categories for indie candidates who can demonstrate proficiency in the French language. The remaining five categories are occupation-based for healthcare occupation, science, technology, engineering and mathematics STEM professions, trades occupations such as carpenters, plumbers, and contractors, transport occupations, agricultural and agri-food occupation. Candidates must be eligible for the Express Entry Program and had an application in the pool to one of the three programs to be considered for a category-based selection. These categories were chosen follow consultation with stakeholders such as provincial and territorial government, employers, immigration researchers, and settlement services to assess the most critical gaps in Canada's labor force and target the candidates who are best suited for filling those vacant positions. Thank you to our listeners and our guest, Neil Horner. Next time, I will be chatting with the Colombian DJ youth superstar Alejo Caicedo, DJ Alejo, and how he built his name in a densely competitive world. And I will be sharing more news and information for a newcomers community as well.
The opinion, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed today by the hosts, guests, listeners, and viewers solely belong to those who express them. They do not necessarily represent their employers, affiliated organizations, and other groups or individuals. Thank you for listening Northumberland Newcomers. I hope you enjoy our interviews, stories and music as much as I did. Listen to this episode online at northumberland897.ca or subscribe to our podcast on iHeart, Spotify, Google, iPhone and more to listen to this one or other episode. Reach out to us with suggestions for future episodes at settlementservices@northumberland.ca. Until next week, goodbye.